Welcome to Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and today we have another amazing guest for season 6. But before we get to that, if you know someone who's looking for a real estate agent and you want to raise money for actors, TriStateRealtyLosAngeles.com is where you can go to find the perfect real estate agent for you in any of the 50 states nationwide, and 10% of the proceeds goes to the Actors Fund. Our service is a complimentary, no-cost solution. TriStateRealtyLosAngeles.com. Now, let's get back to Actors 2020 Podcast. His name is Felix Jones. Well, you know what? I'm just going to let him introduce himself. I love magic and I love mentalists. I want to know the difference between a mentalist versus a magician. So why don't we just give Felix Jones, the mentalist, a call and let's see what he has to offer you. And here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning, Felix. It's Johnny with Actors 2020 Podcast. How are you?
I'm great.
I love magic. What's the difference between a mentalist and a magician?
Well, some mentalists would say it's magic at a more intellectual level.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that. It takes a lot of skill to do both, but I find that being a mentalist, there's skill, but a lot of it is also how you put it all over, how you present yourself, how you make the audience believe that I can actually do this. And that's the tricky part. So you've got to have some unique way of doing the particular routine, and then you have to have personality, script, dialogue to put it across.
Right. So basically, it's like a performance, and a magician would be sleight of hand, and a mentalist would be sleight of mind.
Totally. And actually, right. It's a big performance, a big part of my magic. I don't see it so much. Not all card magicians have got a personality that people can connect with. I worked really hard on doing that to make sure that I'm always connected with my audience and that the magic is meaningful for them, because I always like to say magic without meaning is just a trick. And I want people to laugh. I want them to freak out. I want them to wonder what just happened. That's all the fun stuff of being a mentalist. It's very, very attached to the audience, to the people I am magician to.
Yeah, right, because I watch a lot of your videos, and then you watch the expression on their face afterwards. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, I used to order all that stuff out of the magazines. Like, I'd get those x-ray glasses, and you're like, wait a minute, I can't see through people's clothes, but you could put your hand up to the light and kind of see your bones. So I understood you used to order all that stuff when you were about 12 years old, and you used to do performances for your friends.
I did. As a matter of fact, I have 3 x-ray glasses. not my original one, but I use a pair in my act where I am seen into a person's mind. They're great fun and they get a lot of laughs. Yeah, I started my interest in magic from reading comic books. As I know one famous magician, that's kind of how he got drawn in as well, was from reading comic books. On the back of the comic books, right, there would always be some sort of ad for some trick that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I used my allowance. I saved them up. I bought them. I was in the summer times. I performed in people's garages, but that's how I got started.
That's kind of cool. So you're a comic book collector. Do you still have those comic books?
I don't. You know, it's very, very sad because my father was really angry with me. He threw them away.
Oh, my God.
I was being possessive. I got to tell you, Johnny, I had some collector's items. It was crazy. I was sobbing my eyes out.
Especially when you see how much they go for today, and like the ones that are in mint condition.
Oh, my God. I know.
All right. So you're 12 years old and you get the lead in a play called Hoodoo, and it's a magician.
Hoodoo the Magician. Yeah. It was fun. I was with my best friend at the time. He was in the play as well. If I remember the plot correctly, I was a shyster magician. I was just scamming people. What happens to Hoodoo that he has a change and he actually does magic at the very end of the play, shocking himself, and he, you know, reforms his wicked ways.
That was like a double whammy, because you got to be an actor and you got to be a magician. And then it seemed like you put the magician kind of thing on the side and you started focusing on your theater arts, where you're like a playwright, a producer, an artistic director. What does an artistic director actually do?
Oh, wow. Run a company full of crazy actors.
That's funny.
So I did all of the planning of the season, produced most of the production that the company did, made sure that the financial books balanced.
I think I can sum you up in 5 words. Martinis and the Magic Castle.
What makes you think that, Johnny? Huh?
Yeah, because I was doing research on you, and you said you were trained by a professional magician for the Magic Castle, but you didn't say who that person was. Is that a secret?
No, it's not a secret. His name is Jim Bentley.
Okay.
he used to do a Houdini act. He was very good. One of the plays that I had written was about Houdini. It's called Flim Flam, Houdini and the Hereafter. And it has a lot of magic into it that I wrote in. And so Jim had to train our magicians, our actors rather, who were playing Houdini and Best. I saw the mechanics of some of these escapes. So I just got more and more interested. And Jim trained me. I felt like I was in Olympic training.
Wow.
Doing rope escape, doing chain escape, telling the story as I was doing it. Auditioned. It was January of 2015, and I was accepted. As to the martinis, well, that has evolved because I don't know how martinis became my favorite drink, but they are. And so I just, in the act, as I perform, the martini is most of the time in hand.
Right. I've been to Magic Castle many, many times. I love that place. If you haven't been there, it is amazing. So is the Magic Castle back now? Or are you going to be performing there in the future?
I will be performing there in the future because right before they closed down because of the pandemic, the director of entertainment works so hard and is a wonderful person. As he would say, you are not canceled, you are postponed.
That's pretty good. You're out there, you're doing like live performances, you're doing corporate events, private parties, weddings, and all of a sudden it gets all shut down, but you honed your act to do that on Zoom. How did you do that?
That was a lot of hard work. Really, that was so much work to do magic on Zoom because there's no audience. A mentalist needs an audience to respond to.
Yeah.
And it was hard, but let alone the magic I had to redo and make everything that would be interesting for more than just one person who was watching me.
So now that you're going and doing the live shows again, you can, it's like another avenue for you. You can still do the Zoom as well if they can't make it, right?
Yeah, I can. I mean, I think at this point for Zoom shows, it's people who are abroad that they don't have access to any magic, perhaps even corporate parties where they're still doing kind of half live and half Zoom.
So are you back doing live shows now?
I am. I did 3 shows in the past month. They were private parties and it was great. It was a thrill actually. But the very first show, I had to go back and do the act that I do at the Magic Castle. So I started rehearsing. I couldn't remember how I did the stuff. So I had to go back and watch videos of myself and to get the script down and to get the moves down of what I had to do. And as a matter of fact, one of them, I said, oh my God, why did I do it that way? This is much better because I had learned something from the Zoom shows.
Hey, explain, I don't know if you coined this phrase, but it's the first time I heard it. Explain, what is walk around magic?
Oh yeah. No, I didn't coin it. It's pretty common. So what it is, it's usually always at some sort of a party. The people don't want to sit and do a full show, but they want to have magic while people are having cocktails. It's literally that I go up to, say, 3, 4, 5 people, and I do a series of tricks, usually 3 or 4. Then I move on to the next group of people.
Hey, has anyone ever told you resemble Hugh Hefner a little bit? I used to work at the Playboy Mansion, and you look like Hugh Hefner a little bit.
Oh, my God. No, no one has ever told me that.
Well, because Hefner would dress nice, and you always dress nice. You always a suit, nice tux. I like that. You look great in a suit.
Thank you.
So when someone hires you for an event or a party, it's all different kind of themes. So how do you customize your magic for that specific event?
There are a few routines that I do that I can put in some words or whatever that are important for the party. That's all adaptable.
Now, a couple of the videos I watch, it's like somebody will be thinking something, or they'll draw it, and then you draw it, and then it's a match. It seems like you're actually reading someone's mind. I guess there's a trick to it, but it's amazing.
Yes, there's a certain skill to it. I certainly work hard at having people believe that I am reading their mind. And the way to do that is to give evidence. And when they have the evidence, they freak out. One particular trick that I do a lot for my walk-around magic, it's having someone draw something on the back of my business card, put it in an envelope, and then I reproduce it. And then when we do the reveal, every single time, people stand back and, whoa!
Yeah, that one with the Golden Gate Bridge. And she drew it, then bam, you turned yours over.
Oh,
and it was
yeah.
The same one. I was like, how the heck does he do that? It's pretty good.
That's one of my favorite to do, and I stopped performing because I can't do it on Zoom.
So the 3 amigos, Felix, Simone, and Chris, it's called the Orpheum Circuit Tour. What is that?
So it's a show that I created and produced that I've worked with Simone before. She and I will be doing our act again at the Peller Theater in the Magic Castle when it's fully reopened. And Chris and I did a couple of Zoom shows. And so I came up to this idea of the three of us working together because we all have really good chemistry when we're working together to do this Zoom show. And Orpheum Circuit was the really famous Orpheum theaters during vaudeville that performers would go from city to city working in the Orpheum Theater. So we wanted to do like a little throwback and something interesting to that, where we say that we're doing homage to those great performers of vaudeville. So it's just the show, the Zoom show.
Just like your website, I'm looking like you do weddings, private parties, corporate events, the Zoom virtual shows, and stage and parlor shows. And I know you don't work with kids like under 12, but is there anything else that you wouldn't do that you would turn down that like, no, that's not for me?
Juggling.
That's pretty good.
No, actually there isn't. And the thing with kids, I've performed many, many, many times where there were younger kids. And the only reason I say not under 12 is just because there's all the cocktails. Some parents might be uneasy about that.
It's all visual. So you need to put that martini into a sippy cup.
So, well, you know, Noel Coward used to say gin is like mother's milk.
I was looking at your contract. You're like all business. I've never seen any magician who has an actual insurance policy. That's kind of cool because I have an S corporation and I have to have a general liability insurance. But a magician, it's like you actually have insurance. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, because most corporations, when you're working for a company and doing a party, I believe almost all of them want you to have insurance if I fall down or something.
So reading your contract, it's like you get 50% of the money up front. Have you ever went and done an event, or have you ever been stiffed where they just like, hey, we're not paying?
No, never.
Currently, today, what else do you do besides magic?
That's pretty much it. It sounds pathetic.
Not at all.
You know, the thing with magic that people may not understand is what to create a trick. And for mentalism, it's very involved. Cards, it's all feel with the hands and what you're doing and where you put a card and shuffle it back in or don't. For mentalism, I have to work through step by step and look at it to make sure that it seems real. But then what's also important for me, it's not as important for some magicians, is I work on the script a lot. And then a big important part of my act as well is the music.
I was just going to say that. All your theater arts background, the playwright, the producing, the artistic director. It's so funny. See, I thought it and you actually said it. So you do read minds. It's so fun. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. It's always been very important for me from the start because I used to have terrible stage fright. Having all of the, that's because I was depending on other people to do things. But when I'm doing the show and it's just me, then I feel confident.
So, hey, somebody come coming up who wants to get into mentalism or magician, what advice would you have for them in today's world?
It's a hard profession. You do have to have the stamina, the persistence, the patience. You go to older material. It sounds funny, but there's old material like Ted Annemann. There are some famous mentalists. Bob Cassidy is another one. You can look at their routines. You'll get some ideas about how you can create your own routine. The older stuff is got gems, and no one performs some of these things. Then look at some of the new, there's tons of books that you can learn, but then, you know, you need to work on it with a fellow magician, work on it with your spouse or partner before you even think of going to an audience.
Well, so basically perfect practice makes perfect. So to get more information on Felix Jones, you go to felixjonesmentalist.com. He's out there everywhere on Instagram, on Twitter, it's just at Felix Mentalist. Wrapping up here, is there anything else you'd like to say?
Visit my YouTube channel.
Oh yeah. Don't forget about the YouTube channel. That's where you see all the stuff that I was talking about.
Come to the Magic Castle. It really needs people's support.
Right, but you have to be invited by a magician, somebody like you. Do you have that power to give that card to invite people to go to the Magic Castle?
Yeah, I can bring in every night 5 people come in as my guest, or I can get to them an invitation, and they can use that throughout the year and go anytime, even if I'm not there.
And it's just an invitation. You still got to pay for parking. You still got to pay for the cover charge, and you still got to pay for dinner.
That's right. The invitation just gets you through the door.
That's just like a secret society. And guys, you got to wear your suit, nice tie. You got to dress to impress.
Oh, Oh, yeah, the dress code.
Felix, thank you so much for doing my show. I had so much fun researching you. I love Magician. I love Mentalist. Thank you for being on my show. I sincerely appreciate it.
Thank you, Johnny. It was a real pleasure.
All right, thank you.
FelixJonesMentalist.com is where you can find more information on this amazing mentalist and a link to his YouTube channel. Don't want to miss that. Please leave us a review on iTunes or the Internet Movie Database. Like, share, embed, and download. Don't forget about raising money for actors at TriStateRealtyLosAngeles.com. That wraps up this episode of Actors 2020 Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Keith, and until the next episode, bye-bye.